I'm glad I can sing that song today and know that I'm saved, ready to make heaven my home. And it's a blessing to be able to know that the creator of this universe, we've been studying in Genesis about creation and what God has done. It's amazing to know that this God loved me enough that he died for my sins that I might be saved. And I'm so thankful for that. Cared enough for me, you can be looking at Matthew chapter 17, cared enough for me to call me one day to come to him. And then it became my choice. Then. He just kind of put it in my court and said, here you go. I'm calling you, son. Come accept me. Died for you. And now I can sing that song. Thank God I am free. Free, free, free. Praise God from this world of sin. Appreciate that today. It's good to have you this morning in service. Good to have our visitors with us. And preaching today in Matthew, starting off in Matthew chapter 17. And I don't know, this may be as much for me as anybody here. This may not be, you all may not be shouting around here, but sometimes I thought one thing, God does something else. So it's good to know that he's still in control and he's still moving in the midst of his people. And, there's sometimes that there's folks here that have went through, you've battled some amazing things and God's brought you through. Health issues that seemed like was being possible to make it through. Heartache and sorrow that you've passed through and you've accomplished because of God. Bound by things in this world, God's delivered. And the list goes on. Maybe you're here today and you've got things ahead of you. And there's also a part of our life that we don't always know what God's got in store for us. I really think that's a very good blessing from God, because if we knew what was ahead, we'd probably all pass away of fear, knowing what we might be facing in life and so on and so forth. But God promised us to go with us. And I'm thankful for that. So there might come a time in our life that we might just not understand how that we're going to make it through this. And maybe not even be able to comprehend how we can survive and how we can make it up that mountain or make it across that valley or be able to stand when that enemy comes in like a flood. We might sit back and say, how am I going to make it through these next few days, through these next few weeks? And I'm here to say today, I'm going to just hit a few points on this, is, as I said, probably not a shouting message, but I believe it's going to help us today. There are some things in our life that we need to come into understanding that I believe will help us when we come to this mountain we can't see the top of. When we come to that mountain, we start down the valley and it seems like there's never going to be no end to that valley. And maybe there's a dry spell going on and you've not seen a cloud of rain in years and days and months. And you just don't understand how that you're going to be. Maybe things have just come in on you like a flood, and those floods come unexpectedly. And it's hard to understand and even comprehend how you're going to make it through the next day. I want to encourage you this morning through the Word of God, if that's where you're at this morning, that God is on your side. I was thinking last week we were going out the door and there were some folks here and one was still tears in their eyes and saying, I've got to come back here more often. Amen. How many finds yourself in a time in your life that you need to go by the well a little more often? You need to have that spiritual blessing. Sister Marty done a great job teaching about the spiritual gifts and so on and so forth. And I tell you, church, we're serving a spiritual God that'll bless you beyond measure, that you can't comprehend, you can't write it down, you won't even think about it, and God is working for you. I told some after church Sunday, they said, we talked about things like this last night. Every time we come to this church, we begin to talk about something, God begins to say those things. I said, you know why? Because he's on your side. He's not against you, he's for you. And when things come our way, we got to realize God's not against us, God's for us. Hallelujah. 17th chapter of Matthew, if you would stand with us. I'll just title this in King James style. How shall we make it? Amen. How shall we make it through what we've got coming our way? And maybe you're in the middle of some things. I don't know. I just know I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach this today. 20th verse of chapter 17. Again, good to have everybody with us. Because of your unbelief, For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence and yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not but by prayer and by fasting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Praise you, Lord, for our Sunday school lesson, our songs this morning, Lord. Just ask that you would purge my mind this morning, Lord, that my mind be your mind. Lord, my thoughts be your thoughts and my words be your words this morning. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you, speak to the heart this day. Lord, encourage those that might be here under the sound of our voice. Lord, anoint me to say and preach your anointed word this morning, Lord. Move in this congregation, thanking you, Lord, and helping those that are in need today. And we'll lift your name above all names and give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing and being a part of this today, this service. And how are we going to make it? I think the most key thing in us surviving and us being not only, and I want to reword that. I don't want us to be a surviving Christian. We need to be a thriving Christian. We don't need to just survive this walk of life. We need to thrive in this walk of life. And there's going to be one way to do that, and that's through our faith. Sister Marty brought out this morning, and I too with her. I like pulling on the scripture where it says that every man's been dealt a measure of faith. So therefore, I don't stand here alone. I don't stand here without the tools to withstand the attack of the enemy. I stand here with faith in my Lord and Savior, Brother Mark. He's dealt me the measure of faith, Sister Marty. So it does not matter what comes my way. I realize there's times it seems like our faith is being tried. It seems like your faith has been pushed to the edge and you're standing there hanging on. And maybe you're getting a vision. You can see the valley below you and the mountains and the cliffs. And it seemed like your faith is just barely there. But I'm here to tell you and to proclaim to you this morning that those of us that are here, we do have faith in God. And I'm telling you, church, this morning, stand on what you know is God's word and believe what God's word says, and He'll stand with you. Praise God. Faith is the key. I put that at the very top. He said, if you've got faith at the grain of a mustard seed. I used to carry one around in my billfold, and it was just very small. Amen. Mustard seed's not very big. I believe that was why he said that. So you could kind of get a picture, a mental picture, that it doesn't take a lot of faith. It takes Sister Needy Widener made a profound statement. She says, I don't have a great faith, but I've got faith in a great big God. Amen. How many's got faith in a great big God? Amen. This God is a God that you and I can't comprehend where he's at and how he does what he does. But I've got faith in him that one day, as we can read in Genesis, he piled up some dirt and breathed some life and breathed a living soul, made a living soul in man. That happens to be me today. And he died for me on the rugged cross of Calvary. Why? Because he loves me. Praise God. So folks, if you're here this morning and you're wondering about tomorrow and you're wondering about today, I'm here to proclaim to you that your faith may be tried as fire. And the scripture said, Paul said, think it not strange, these fiery trials as to try us. But listen, church, we're going to go through some things in life. And I can assure you of one thing, you're not going through anything somebody else has not accomplished or encountered. Christ knows what it's like to feel lost and to feel separation. His Father turned his back on him at the cross while he was there giving his last blood. He knows what it's like to be ridiculed and persecuted. He knows what it's like to suffer loss. And I can tell you right now, amen, Jesus is your friend. And Jesus loves you today, and he knows exactly what you need. And folks, there comes time for us to be able to, I want to go back again and say, we're not just going to survive this walk of life as a Christian. We're going to thrive in this walk of life as a Christian. I don't serve a God that just barely given me enough, Brother Mike, to barely make it in. I'm serving a God that he gave his life, son, his blood, his son gave his life's blood that we might have life. And I still proclaim this, if his blood has the authority to cleanse me, his blood's got the authority to keep me. I won't just drag in by the skin of my teeth. I'll come marching in across in the glory with the power of God in my life and the victory with me. Is anybody still preaching to me this morning? Praise God. You think you can't make it, and through you and through me we can, but through Christ we can. I've had people ask me and say things, how do you do it? How do you do this or how do you do that? I can tell you right now, except for the power of God, you and I couldn't do what anything we do. Couldn't survive. I'm glad now. I realize that this God we're serving, He's the one who gives me breath. And I'll just throw this in here, no charge. I've heard people say things about the devil that give him much more credit than he deserves. I've heard people, Brother Wendell, say that you may disagree with me, and we'll go to scriptures on this. I've heard people say when Christian people died that the devil killed them. I'll step up here and tell you right now, the devil ain't got no authority over me. Hello? Devil didn't kill nobody. It's a blood-bought child of the King. Y'all ought to be shouting with me. That means we've got God on our side. If He give life, He'll take life, Brother Wendell. I'll not leave here one moment or one second before God says, come home, son. Amen. That's the kind of God I'm serving. I'm serving the God that is on my side, and my faith in Him is what's going to see me through. You can't climb the mountain without activating your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You're not going to be a faithful Christian if you never go to church, never read your Bible. Come on, preach with me. You're never going to be faithful in God and have strength and confidence in God if you don't come up once in a while and grab a line by the beard. Y'all with me? We're not going to have that Goliath victory until we go through a lion and a bear first. If we can't stand when we can't even run with a footman, how are we going to run with a horseman? If we allow things to hinder us and get us all sideways and upset and mad and leave the church and this and that over nonsense, come on, preach with me a while. If we let little things hinder us, the big things will not ever get to us. We're going to have our faith. We're going to be active in our faith. We're going to be an active Christian for God. We're going to be a soldier that wants to be in this army. We're going to be a soldier that's going to stand, and then when that mountain comes before you, then when that flood begins to trickle up, and you may have seen scenes and watched the movie or whatever, the Titanic. Man thinks he's got everything under control. I'm here to tell you right now, there's nothing out there God can't take care of, fix or tear down, create or destroy. Nothing. That's the God I'm serving. So why would I allow things that come my way to distract me and destroy me? I've got to have faith and realize that God is still God. Amen. Praise God. Maybe you're a young Christian. Maybe you've served God a long time. Doesn't matter. God's still with you. Praise God. That mountain's going to have to be accomplished by faith. You're going to have to speak faith to that mountain in your life. You're going to have to speak faith when that river and that flood begins to rise up and you're looking, trying to see where you're going to get your next breath, and it seems like the water keeps rising on you. I'd be scared to death, naturally speaking, but I'm here to tell you, when I have a spiritual battle, I might have a little fear grip me for a while, but I begin to realize I've got power in me. I've got strength in me. I don't stand here alone. I don't stand here looking at the mountain saying, why? And I'm going to get over to 2 Kings. I want to knock into the next step here. We've covered part of the fact of faith. You and I, faith comes by hearing the Word. You've got to read the Word, and we've got to be praying to be faithful. Our faith will just lay there, and we've got to measure faith. Now, what are we going to do with it? Well, somebody said, well, if I can't see it, then you're not walking with faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's going to have to be more to this than what you see. Because what will happen is you'll see something that will absolutely destroy your faith. Something will come up and come alive around you. It's going to test everything in you. So what's going to have to happen, preacher? You're going to have to be walking by faith. That's how we shall. That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to be a powerhouse for God. That's how we're going to see our family saved. That's how we're going to see souls saved in this church, is walking by faith. And when it comes our way, realize that it don't take much. And I got enough. Somebody say, I got enough back there. Let me tell you, let me give you some more advice while I'm preaching to you. Don't go on how you feel, go on what you know. You'll feel good tomorrow and feel terrible the next day. Shout tonight and be sad tomorrow night. Come on now. Feelings are fickle, they'll change, but I can tell you what, the power of God changes not. My faith should never waver because of what's around me, circumstances. I should be able to stand up and say, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, because His Word says it. Jesus said to Satan himself, it's just written, Satan, man can't live by bread alone, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get behind me, boy. Get out of here. Leave me alone. He did for a season, and I like this part. Go back and read it. The scripture says that after he left him, Satan left him for a season after tempting Christ. After he left him for a season, the scripture says this, that angels came and ministered to him. What's that mean to me? That means that when I went through the fire, that means when I went through the flood, that means when it seemed like I couldn't make it another day, he's got some angels coming by to minister to me. Come on now. How are we going to make it? By faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's more here to this in 2 Kings. I may take longer to preach this than I thought. 2 Kings chapter 4. I almost got on it a while ago. In chapter 4 of 2 Kings. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in the house?" I want you to remember that particular question. What hast thou in the house? And she said, "Thine handmaiden had not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Doesn't sound like much, does it? And he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Amen. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There's not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live, and thy children of the rest. That's shouting ground right there. Woo, glory. I hope and pray I can get this out like God showed it to me on this. Listen, here's what happened. How are we going to make it, preacher? How am I going to make it through the next day? As this woman had this mountain come her way, she had this battle come her way, and she come to the prophet Elisha and said, I need some help here. I'm going to lose my sons, and they're going to come and take what I've got." And Elisha asked her a question. He said, "What have you got in your house?" I like that question. What have you got in your house? He didn't say what's in your neighbor's house. He didn't say what's in the church house. He said, "What's in your house?" He didn't say what happened to your grandma or what happened to your He didn't say what about an experience 25 years ago or 30 years ago. He said, "What do you got in your house now?" He didn't say now, but that's what he was saying. What do you got in your house? And that was a present time in her life. She said, "All I've got is just a little cruise oil here." Can I tell you, church? I will go back to the mustard seed. It doesn't take much in the hands of God. Amen. She had some oil there. Now that oil, we can go down some spiritual trails here, and we can jump into some spiritual walk here about that oil representing the Spirit of God. You may be at home and you say, "How can I make it through this? How am I going to overcome this? Got family troubles, got job troubles, got this trouble and got that trouble." Can I go back to this one question? What have you got in your house? Amen. What have you got at your house today? What about you as an individual? You say, "Preacher, I've been through this and I've been through that. I've been down and I've been out." Listen to me. Praise God. I done talked about and quoted where he said, "We're dealt a measure of faith." Can I say this? All things are possible to them that believe. If you begin to believe that God is able, you'll be able to realize one thing. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter how deep the flood or how much trash and junk comes down the river at you. There's logs coming your way. There's treetops coming your way, but I'm here to tell you right now, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Amen. We're serving a God that's able. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. What you got in your house today? I can tell you what I got in my house. I've got the power of God, Sister Heather. I've got the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of me. I got the blood of Jesus Christ applied to me. Amen. I got the blood applied to my doorpost. That's what I got in my house. He said, "You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you." Praise God. He said, "You can tread on serpents." Praise God. That's what's in my house today. What about your house? See, you've been convinced to look around at what's coming at you instead of what you got in you. Hey, man, it's what's in you. It's what's going to count, praise God. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside that's going to put the devil to flight. Come on, somebody. Praise him in this house. Got to have faith, and it's going to have to be something in us. And that something in us must be the power of God moving and reigning in our life. She was distressed. She was upset. She was just absolutely to a place that David says in Psalms, she was at a place at wit's end. There was a place not to count. I want to tell you something right now. That place of wit's end changes names when God comes on the scene. It's no longer called wit's end. If you look at the interpretation of wit's end, it means you don't know. It means you just don't know where to go. Amen. But what's inside of us, and I can tell you right now, you say, I don't have anything. It doesn't matter right now how long you've been serving God. You may have backslid on God and not served him for years. That doesn't matter. I can tell you, go back to what I quoted for you before. Every man's dealt a measure of faith. God's not willing that any should perish, that all should have eternal life. He didn't come to condemn this world. He come to save this world. Jesus isn't here to tell you what's wrong. He's here to make things right. What's in you is what's going to give you the power and go to the right place. She went to the prophet. She said, Elisha, they're going to come get it. He said, what do you got in your house? Just a cruise oil. He said, now listen, here's what happens. This goes into some more spiritual stuff here. Here's what's happened. We just want one little victory. You know what? I don't just want a soul last week and a soul last week saved. I want 10 souls saved today. Come on now. I don't want to just see one or two baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want to see every believer baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, preacher, you're getting a little bit out there. You think so? I don't only want to see Brother Wendell begin to get healing and miracles in his body and Sister Marty, and the list goes on, and different things. And Brother Richard, I don't want to just see them. I want to see others being miraculously healed. That's what Elisha said, basically. She said, what do you got? Well, I got a cruise of oil. Can I tell you right now? We got the oil of the Holy Ghost in our place here. We got the power of God in us. We got a church that's on fire for God. We got believers here. And the word said, if any two or three shall agree and one touching any one thing, it shall be done. Praise God. Can somebody give the Lord a shout? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So it doesn't matter what's around us. We've got that authority in our house now. What are we going to do with it? Well, we'll just pray a little while, preacher. You know how God is. You know we're in the last days. You know things are kind of falling back. I don't care what it says. I'll go back to Acts. And he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You take it and show me somewhere in this word where it says believers can't be saved. And you show me where believers can't be filled. Come on now. You show me where. You show me where miracles can't still happen. And I'll hang my hat and say, okay, I'll quit praying about that. But I'm here to tell you right now, you won't find it. He's still alive. He's still alive. He's still alive. And he's alive in me. Don't just get yourself a little halfway blessing and be satisfied with it. If you need deliverance, you bring it all and say, God, I want everything taken out of my life. I got a stronghold hanging on to my little finger. Get it off. We look at the big things, it's time to get rid of little things. Hallelujah. Praise God. So how are you going to make it? But what's in you? That's how you're going to make it. That's how you're going to overcome. That's how when these tragedies come, that's how you're going to survive another minute. That's how you're going to make another hour. That's how you're going to make another day. That's how you're going to do that because of what's in you. He said, don't just bar a few. She went, they went and gathered all the vessels. Can I tell you right now, this is an unending flow of the power of God. He's never going to be overwhelmed. You know, your data deal in your silly phone might get to the place you get a message and say, your data, oh, what's that say? Oh, yes, you're 85% full before your next billing cycle. You know what that means? It means you're going to have to quit communicating. I'll interpret that for you. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We're serving a God that you'll never get a message and say you just about use all the grace up. You're never going to get a message. Sister Heather's going to say, well, you're 85% of your grace being used up, and the next time you won't have it. Oh, come on now. You'll never find a place in God where he's going to say, my mercy doesn't endure anymore. What you're going to find is what's in you is what's going to bring you through. It's what's going to give you the strength. This is not something shaking on the outside, something on the outside around you, nothing you can go by. It's going to be God in you. Whew. He's still God. Yeah, he said, go get it. Go get those vessels. Filled them up. Looked over at the boy and said, ain't got any more? He said, no, Ma, they're all filled. Well, you think it's over with then, wouldn't you? Oh, I almost said something there. Some folks think when it come get saved, that's the end. That's just the start. Ooh, preaching good to you now. Come up and pray a little while. Everything's okay. No, you just got equipped to run. You just got equipped to fight. He just slapped some armor on you to be an overcomer. Now it's time to get after it. Amen. And so that oil was full. And what happened was this. Didn't stop there. Got the pots, got the bill paid off, and those dudes didn't get the sons. Come on, somebody shout with me. Wasn't done there. They had oil to live on, oil to shout on, oil to drink. Come on now, oil to cook with. They had an ever-ending supply. I'm going to tell you right now, there's an ever-ending supply of my God and the power of God in your life. No matter what you feel like this morning, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter how down you might feel, God will never stop pouring in if you keep looking up. He won't pour it in a cup that's turned upside down. Can I shout a while? He won't waste what he's got. He won't cast his pearl towards a swine. He won't throw that around unbelievers just to be in a faith. But I tell you what he'll do. Press down, shaking together, running over. He'll give it to you. You can have a cup. You can have a saucer ministry. How many like to have a saucer ministry? I'd like to have a saucer ministry. I'd like to have enough in my life, enough the power of God that people can come by and sip out of the saucer my cup's in. Did y'all catch that? What's that mean, preacher? That means my cup runneth over. David said that. Hey, he said, my cup runneth over. David went through. He suffered loss. He suffered sin. He had restoration. He had troubles. He had trials. He was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because when he messed up, he got with God and said, fix it, Lord. Whew. In us. It's what's going to get you through. Exodus chapter 4. Goes back and kind of hits some of the things I hit before. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, priest of Midian. Led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put thy shoes off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid. He was afraid to look. Now, I got off on the wrong chapter, didn't I? Did I tell you chapter 4? That was good reading anyway, wasn't it? Back a chapter. I'm chapter 3. Y'all missed a good opportunity to laugh right there. I heard one brave soldier laugh a little bit. I was supposed to be in chapter 4, and I'm chapter 3. Amen. So Moses was being called. Now, let's drop over to chapter 4, and then I get into my message. I thought, how in the world am I going to tie this in? Amen. Preach with me. Moses answered and said, verse 1, chapter 4, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me, my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, I know there's a lot of preaching to go on right there, but I want to stop right there. I'm going to this third part of what we're going to have to do to be overcomers, be able to make it through what we're doing with power of God. Moses there, and this rod, if you look at what this meaning, this rod represents authority. How many likes to have authority? This rod is a representation of authority in Moses' life, and I'm going to tell you something, church. We're going to have the word. This word is the authority that we have today that we're living in. I'm just glad for the Word of God. It's time we read this Word. It's time we quote this Word. And it's time we stand on this Word. Amen. This Word's what's going to see us through. This Word will stand when this whole world is gone. Are you glad for the Word of God? Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise in this house. I'm not going to camp there long, but we're going to have the Word. And I kind of hit on that the first part, going over to 1 Samuel. We're going to have the Word to be able to make it through these trials. We're going to have the Word to be able to stand. And folks, I can tell you right now, God will not go against His Word. He will not be contrary to His Word. If His Word says it, you can believe what He says. How many believes what the Word says? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'll try to get in the right chapter this time. A lot of reading could go on here. This is the Goliath challenge to the children of Israel. I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to get to the point where David jumps in here. David said in verse 29, and he said, "What have I done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? In order for you and I to make it when the flood comes." You notice what I said, not if, I said when. When the battles rage, and we get to that point in life, we need God. We're going to have to find ourselves with a heart to stay in there. Have to have a heart for God. Oh, you'll never make it. Might as well be. But die with my wife. This boy. The heart for God better than him. But he loves baseball. Let's play the game. Tomorrow you got a great guy like you. Some of you folks. And what happens? You love the game. You put up the things that on the side of the coach. This is Dr. Donovan. Basketball. I want to have one of the I'm not going to burn you out because you love it. Somebody going to the other thing, something comes up, they're going to love you. They're not going to play ball at the time. You don't let God help you with something, whatever. When somebody comes up, somebody doesn't really love you, somebody something comes up, that's an excuse for the child, and that's not bad. That's not enough to live. You know why? And I'm heart for it. David's boys, brothers, they probably have a heart for it, they just didn't have God in themselves. Yeah.
Thank you.